Now, this is a party political broadcast by the Common Sense Party. Yes. And we're going to... Should we do this in two parts? Should we do it local and nationally?
Like.
That would make sense, OK? So, should we start with the local first?
Yes.
So, we're going to come up... We've just bashed together a load of local policies. If you want to give us a call now, you can. 240-666. Local policies that we, as political members of the... Brought the Common Sense Party. Now I don't mind being your right hand man. If you pardon the expression.
Well,
hey. I think that there's leaders and there's not and so on and so forth. But I don't mind being slightly lower.
I think partnership is better.
Yeah, I'll go with that. So okay. we're a partnership.
We're a partnership.
I mean, I'll give you, because you're slightly older than me, only slightly, but you don't look it. I'm going to give you the overall, if it's like a, well, you decide.
So okay? I'll get the casting vote.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's, this is a party political broadcasting by the...
Common Sense Party.
The Common Sense Party. I keep forgetting what party we are.
The CSP.
The CSP?
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
We are the CSP. All right, so...
We're not going to do very well if we start laughing at our own name, are we?
See, I think that's where it all falls apart with politicians, because they are so serious.
Yes.
They're lying through their teeth and yet being so serious.
You see, that's my first policy. Honesty.
Hmm.
Honesty. I know it's a bit out there.
Yeah.
A bit kind of,
a bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, but... And also a bit controversial, honesty, but I think let's be honest.
Okay. Well, look, why don't we chuck that in with being accountable?
Absolutely. And also, I don't think, as politicians, we should be allowed to lie. And if we are later found out to lie, we should be held accountable and have to resign. If I lied as a nurse, you lied as doing what you do here, training young people, in any other career, if you lied and said, I can deliver this and I can deliver that and da-da-da, and you absolutely went back on it, I think you should be held to account.
I think that's about right.
Yes.
I think that is spot on. I'm with you there.
Right.
And staying on the local theme with accountability, those people that have messed it up before us. We might have to put a year on this. How far do we go back? Do we go back into the last term, the last regime, or the last 10 years when people have messed things up? I.e. the schools on the Isle of Wight were kind of messed up by a rejig a few years ago. Should we now move on, or should we make them accountable?
Well, retrospectively, no, I don't think we should make people accountable for things done 5 years ago if we're changing the rules now.
Okay.
But I think that from now, people have to be accountable.
Okay.
Yeah?
From here on in.
Because we can't be punishing people for doing something that culturally was acceptable last week.
Okay.
Isn't acceptable for
I take
today.
Your point on that.
Yes.
And what I will add, I'll put this in the small print.
Yes.
It is that what we should be able to do is refer to those people that cocked it up in the last
Absolutely.
Bit so that it doesn't happen again.
I have to say, if they want to come popping their heads in and their noses in, then we are obviously going to look at their history and evidence of what they achieved in a previous
I like
thing.
That. Yeah, I like that.
Because if someone came to work for us and we were interviewing them, We would ask for references, wouldn't we? And what have you done? What's your experience? And if their experience is to mess everything up, then no, thank you and goodbye.
So those people that have messed up the school situation before, because let's be honest, and let's hammer this point home now, and let's make this point, because it's really, really vital. We don't sing about the positives enough, and I'm being serious now. I think the school situation up until about 18 months ago was in dire straits.
Yes.
And over the last 18 months or so, it's really lovely to see people that have been measured by Ofsted that are coming out with, glowing reports and improvements and so on and so forth. And so many schools have had that in the last little while. And way to go, those people that have put things in place.
And do you know what? It will be the teams working in the schools that have done that, not the politicians.
Mm.
And I think the fact that we have any children at all being educated in a meaningful way right now is down to those professionals and their teams who've done that, and I give glory to them.
Yeah, pats on the back all round. And also, you know, we need to put this in the small print as well, that if we ever got issues with schools again, we can refer back to how we went from A to B quite quickly and fixed our issues.
Yes.
So we need to keep a track record.
We need to have evidence so that we can look at that evidence for what we do in the future.
I think maybe the other accountability thing that I would like to see is, obviously, the road situation was negotiated by the Tory regime that was voted out, and that's one of the reasons why Island Roads have been hampered, and this current council have been hampered so much in the last little while, because of the stupid paperwork, the stupid things that they've got big lawyers to negotiate. I.e., we had Phil Jordan in a while ago.
We were here. We did it together.
And we had him in. And I was talking to the listener, then not you. So,
okay.
But we had him in, and obviously he was making a point of the reasons why they're painting the lines is because that's what it says in the contract.
They had to do it by a certain time,
otherwise they lost money.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the sorts of things. That was negotiated by the previous council.
Yeah.
So I say to them, okay, we can't hold you accountable financially because we've made the rule now that everybody from here on in, but what we can do is make sure that it doesn't happen again, and it's written down, and we've got all the details of the people that have messed up, and they're not allowed to come within 5 feet of those contracts anymore.
No.
And maybe go even even further and have pictures of them as signposting and saying, you know, the reason why these roads are now great whenever we've done a good road is not because of this person here because he cocked up before. Do you think that's fair enough?
I think that's very fair.
Some people might say that's a waste of money, but I say we shouldn't forget.
I think that it's a waste of money to keep employing people who mess things up.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Simply because they're affiliated to some political party. That's bonkers.
Okay, so
right.
so accountability. For the councillors, politicians.
I would also like to take Marco's point on, which is that our independent council sticks up for the people that elected them rather than toe the Conservative Party line.
Yeah.
Because I think that even if a hit squad was brought in, we would then go national and we would be seen as someone that stood up for the people that elected them rather than kowtowing.
Okay, I've heard lots of people say there shouldn't be politics in local councils. Are we saying that we should now not have political parties involved with our council?
I would like not to have political parties involved with our government. I would like to have, personally, experts in their field running departments of health, education, you know, social care, environment, farming, so that they can actually advise us on what is actually needed.
Okay. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Brings us accountability. We've obviously agreed on most of those things.
Honesty.
And what if they lie? What's the penalty?
They lose their job.
They lose their job. There's an inquiry. We'll give you an inquiry.
I think if you lose, it's like, you know, if you make all these promises you fail to deliver, if you lie and you're found out to be lying, then yes. Well, you should have the highest standards if you're working in public.
Accountability. I think that's okay. Let's go to something that we may agree on, we may disagree on. We've got a lot of elderly folk on the Isle of Wight. I think there are massive issues with the elderly folk. You can't stop them from living here, and you can't stop them from moving here.
No.
So we should get some kind of assistance, maybe more homes for them.
I think everybody is allocated. I mean, as an island, we're allocated social care and NHS a certain amount of money, which doesn't take into account very well our ageing population. I think every elderly person should have a sum of money attached to them so that wherever they move, whether it's London, Essex, Bournemouth, the Isle of Wight, that money goes with them.
Okay.
You know?
I'm going to chuck someone in there now. You might think I'm being tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
Okay, and it is slightly, but there is an element of, I think we should do it.
Yeah.
On the Isle of Wight, we've got so much potential to be centre of excellence for numerous things.
Yes.
Okay. What about euthanasia? Because we've got, you know, the largest population of elderly people here, should we look at it in a sensible way and pilot a scheme?
personally and professionally as a nurse, I say no. I think euthanasia, this is going to open a can of worms, has always been carried out. I know that when I've worked with the terminally ill in the past, that the medication we gave them to alleviate their symptoms could well have hastened their death. But the most important thing was to stop people being in hideous pain.
Sure.
I think the worry about formalising this and making it, you know, a bit Switzerland-y is that you're going to have elderly people who are going to turn around to you and say, I don't want to be a burden to my family.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want anyone ever to feel pressurised into ending their life because they're elderly and they have needs.
Okay, there is that, but there are obviously... You know, euthanasia can take on many guises. Just say, for instance, if you were terminally ill,
yeah,
and you wanted to choose when you wanted to go. Now, we're still on the local thing, because I think these sorts of things should be piloted. And because we're an elderly population here on the Isle of Wight, there's a fairly good chance that we could pilot this scheme, and it would either show it up for not working, or it would show it up for working brilliantly, and just maybe need a bit of tailor making and so on and so forth. But you know what I don't like to see on the TV is people that are saying, look, I want to go to court and I want to, you know, fight for my rights to legally just die because my life is X and I'm going to die anyway, and I'd much rather die now when I can choose and I can have my family around me rather than go for any more
pain.
Yeah,
but what's to stop them doing that anyway?
Well, I don't know, because legally, you know, I don't know where...
But you can kill yourself legally.
Yeah, but just say, for instance, I mean, I haven't thought about this, but I mean, just say, for instance, if I wanted to take my life, that makes my insurance null and void and the wife might not get anything.
It depends how you did it. I mean, if you did it in a way that looked like an accident, you wouldn't.
Right, okay.
But no one's going to pay out a life insurance case when you've chosen euthanasia, are they?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Of course they wouldn't, because otherwise everyone would be saying, right, I've got a horrible illness, I'm going to insure myself $250,000,
top myself, off we go. Yeah, but that's where we would need to sit down and work out the hows and whys.
Yeah.
I mean, I still believe that people should have the right to, you know, if they've had enough and they are in, you know, tremendous amounts of pain, I still believe that they should be able to pick a time when they go.
But they can, Ian. The problem we've got is the bit that isn't illegal is if one of their loved ones helps them.
Okay.
So if you've got a hideous disease and you get to a point in that disease where you can't physically do it yourself,
yeah,
and you want someone to help you, like give you a drink with the drugs in or whatever, that there's a chance that person could be criminalised for it. But actually, if you look at what's going on, very rarely are people actually criminalised for helping someone who's terminally ill towards their end.
Okay.
So I have to say, Simon and I have talked about this, and we would help each other and take the risk.
Okay.
If it came to that.
But you kind of, if you don't do it right, you kind of, you know, could mess up insurances and things like that, couldn't you? They could be null and void.
They could be.
So maybe we do need to have something in there where we can talk about it openly, put it on the table and say, right, this is where we can go. And we'll have places where you can actually go and sit down and talk to somebody legally and healthily to talk about the best way forward. Because at the moment, where is it? It's shoved under the carpet.
I mean, my worry is that places like Switzerland, they've got an increasing amount of people with mental illness choosing euthanasia, and some of them are being allowed to do it. And having worked with people with mental illness, Ian, people get better.
Sure.
So when you're in your depths of despair and you feel like you're never going to crawl out of that hole,
I don't need someone to say,
do you know what, you can dip down the centre.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm thinking more of people that are terminally ill.
Yeah, but they would argue that there are some mental illnesses that can be terminal.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair point. I think that one we need to talk about
a lot.
And we go into the nuts and bolts of it at some point. But at this moment in time, I'm just thinking, well, you know, to actually put it on the table and discuss it would be a good thing, because what we don't do enough is discuss things. We shove it under the carpet, that sort of thing, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so we basically talked about, you know, the euthanasia side of things. Statistically, I mean, this goes without saying anyway, statistically, the Isle of Wight is lumped in with Hampshire every time there's any funds chucked our way. So basically, the Common Sense Party, if you vote for us, we're going to say, no, that ain't going to happen anymore.
We're an island community.
We're an island, because, and we're not part of Hampshire, because you can see that all that water between the, you know, in the Solent kind of separates us, and it's a bit of a giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah, and also if you look at the difference in council wards between the Isle of Wight and Hampshire, the Isle of Wight has got one of the poorest in the country, which is very unusual. In Southeast England, we're seen as the wealthy part of the UK.
Yeah.
We're not. And okay. I think we should be treated accordingly.
So we're agreed on that?
Yes.
Statistically, we are agreed on that. Okay, I look at the old prisons that we've got, and there's one that's completely empty.
Yes.
Now, I look at that and think, we're missing something here. You can
housing.
Either... Exactly. You've got a housing problem. Now, okay, you don't really want to be locked up in a cell.
No.
So I look at it two ways. If we've got an issue with people that are homeless, maybe we can go into these cells, tart them up a bit, and maybe... put them in there. They have a lock on the door and they can come and go as they please. That's not the issue. But the issue is somewhere where they can lay their head.
Absolutely.
So, and I would imagine a cell is, it's not like we've seen in the old days where there's no carpet down on the floor or anything like that. You know, you could make it homely.
You could put two or three cells together, couldn't you, and make little apartments.
You
little
could
one-bedroom apartments for people. You know, starter places. No, I wouldn't mind. I think it would be quite cool.
Well, you just think how great that would be to those people that are homeless.
Yeah.
Those people that are, and maybe you've got like a massive canteen area where, you know, put the food bank in that particular area or some kind of food place where they can get food. People that are homeless, people that have been kicked out, people that are, you know, on their uppers.
I mean, ironically, if you look at prisons, they've got workshops, gyms,
yeah,
recreation rooms, recreational grounds outside. So, you know, they're actually better than a lot of the homeless hostels on our island.
You just think no one out of the six people that are standing for the Isle of Wight, no one has actually mentioned the fact that we've got a prison that has been decommissioned for the last couple of years and it's just left there doing nothing.
And it will mould because buildings that aren't lived in, older buildings, will just moulder. Mm. So, yeah, and do you know what? None of the six have talked about the housing crisis we've got on the island. We've got thousands and thousands of people,
yeah,
on social housing waiting lists.
And yet, all they would need to do is go in, decorate,
yeah,
change the doors, put locks on that they can, you know, unlock themselves, and so on and so forth. It might not be most people's cup of tea, but we're talking about what's the difference? What would you rather have? Staying in some grotty bedsit or having a room to yourself, you know, where you can put your own stuff in, you can lock the door, and you've got electric, and you can have a wash, and you can have something to eat, and so on and so forth. Basically, have a life.
But, I mean, if you look at Whitecroft, they've done it with Whitecroft, haven't they? They've turned it into housing and offices.
They have, but they're kind of posh places, aren't they?
Yeah.
For people that can't afford it.
Let's not do posh, let's do normal.
Yeah, after all, it is a prison.
Yes.
And take away the stigma. I mean, how do we do that? How do we take away the stigma?
You see, I think, you know, if I, as a huge company, went in and turned them all into luxury flats, you know, made luxury apartments with the prison and called it the prison complex or something,
yeah,
there'd be a cachet to living in there. Oh, guess what? I bought a house that used to be in your prison.
Yeah.
You know, you could make it cool.
Yeah, I'm liking it. I just can't believe that this place is just open there. Just nothing, no one doing anything.
I know, it's got a farm attached and everything.
Oh, crikey, it gets even better, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can actually have a really good community up there.
See, vote for us, the Common,
yes,
Sense Party. Because we could get all of this done. Okay, have you got anything on your list?
Yeah, I've got open up the island ports and our bus routes to other companies. You know, we moan and moan at Whiteling and Red Funnel. Well, let's not just stop moaning at them. Let's just allow some competition in and let nature take its course.
Might help them.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I can,
yeah,
see that.
What else have I got? Encourage our farmers to diversify and support them. You know, if we want to be a tourist island, maybe our farmers could do more touristy things. Some are doing it and doing it brilliantly. I'm just thinking about things like Biddlesford's Farm. You know, they've done amazing with their tea shop and their shop and their come and stroke our calves and all that kind of, but let's support them instead of giving them loads of subsidies to do nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
let's
support them in actually diversifying a bit.
Okay, I've got one thing off the back of that. Now again, this is like, it could be tongue in cheek, but I do believe that there, you know, that maybe there's something in this. Do you remember a couple of years ago when they were going to build that biomass thing?
Yes.
I made a comment, and basically I said, you know, once a year what they could do is they could grow a load of weed, shove it in there and burn it and give everyone a happy day. You know, and call it like a bank holiday.
I like that idea.
See, the other thing is we got all these fields doing nothing, and you could grow marijuana.
Yeah.
Okay, you could become the centre of excellence and grow marijuana, but we have it so that it's controlled.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, you've got a drug problem on the Isle of Wight. Whether we like it or not, there's a drug problem. And it ain't like, you know, smoking a bit of weed. We're talking pills and powders and all sorts of things that does an awful lot of damage to you. So, you know, in my eyes, here's a debate in itself, you know, the drug issues that we've got. I'm saying if we had something that was controlled, and let's be honest, there's a lot of people that suffer with certain things. And if you were to smoke marijuana, it eases the issue. Or you could put it in the cakes.
Oh, the evidence is all out there, but everyone's too cowardly to actually take it on. I mean, when I was working at the hospice, when you give people diamorphine for pain, that's heroin.
Yeah.
But somehow that's seen it's okay, and it is okay, believe me. But giving people cannabis to help with nausea, pain, you know, and all the other symptoms associated with diseases, can't do it, not allowed to. I think because you can smoke it. But then you can smoke heroin.
Yeah.
Pointless.
But I wouldn't be like pushing people to smoke it. I could say you could put it in your tea, you could put it in your cakes, you know.
But you know what? What actually started off a lot of our drug problems was when the housing associations built new housing down in Fort Mews, in Sandown and other places like up on Pan, some London boroughs have been allowed to buy or allocate certain parts of that housing to their problem families. So our first crack, whatever it is, then happened in Sandown, and it was a problem family brought down by London. I don't want that. I don't want other people's troublemakers on the island. We've got enough problems on our own, so I would say sorry, but no.
Okay, so that's a different topic altogether.
But social care, our prisons, our court system and everything, suddenly there's a bigger need for it because you've got problem families being moved into the area.
Okay.
So I'd say no, go. I don't want
right.
you.
So, no, I'm with you there, but I think, well, obviously we'd have to have some kind of special control when it comes to doing that, and obviously I don't want to use the term drugs, but, you know, your marijuana. You know, we could become the centre of excellence. We've got all these fields doing nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know it sounds like it's tongue-in-cheek, but no, let's be real. Again, we could pilot the scheme. Will it chill people out and stop them becoming... Okay, you're not allowed to do it and drive your car.
No, any more than you're allowed to take Valium and drive
Absolutely.
Your car.
Absolutely. There's got to be limits. Yeah. There's got to be common sense attached to it. But will it mellow people out? Because people are a little bit stressed, aren't they?
I have to say, do you remember, you know, when we were younger and parties and stuff like that? If you went to parties where predominantly everyone was having a smoke, the guitars would come out and people would start singing very boring blues songs and eventually fall asleep. There was never people throwing up, fighting, crying, having sex inappropriately with other people. All the things people do under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah.
So in some respects, I'd rather, you know, get alcohol out the picture and bring a bit of the other stuff in.
Well, at least try it. Again, at least try it. Maybe it's wrong of me to say that, you know, we could try all these things and the Isle of Wight could do it. We could trial it. Okay, some people might say, well, hang on a minute. You know, why should the Isle of Wight do it? But then only certain things.
But why not? I mean, we've just come back from Holland, where it's legal. And what a lovely, lovely culture of people out there. You know, amazing. Fabulous place. I'd love to live there.
I think it's quite obvious the reasons why that would never ever happen in the UK is because someone would want to control the tax on it. And if you can grow your own, you know, what's the difference?
You could grow your own potatoes, or you could buy them from the supermarket.
Yeah, no.
You know.
Yeah, but there's more to be had, isn't there? There's more financial gain, isn't there? That's the problem.
Well, I mean, is there anything wrong with that?
Well, see, so I think if you had a shop on the town, you know, it was regulated by X amount of people or a company. It was regulated. It was done properly. You'd have to do it properly, but you know, or you grow your own.
Yeah, I mean, I always said to my kids, I'm scared of pills and powders because having worked with drug services, it's not so much that people get addicted, because 9 out of 10 people don't. It's the crap that they put in them.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you're buying because it's a street market. It's a black market. And we had a hideous thing happen once where someone had decided all junkies should die. and they'd cut some really nasty stuff, and we had a lot of very ill. In fact, one young person died. And that's what frightens me much more.
Okay, let's move on now. Obviously, travel on the Isle of Wight. I'm going to chuck it in together, because what we want to do is take a break in a mo and come back and deal with the national stuff.
Yeah.
Train and roads. I mean, you know, okay, the roads have been sorted out. What we want to do is we want to be able to go to Island Roads and say, look, that contract that you signed is fine, but all those small adjustments that we want you to make, make them. Don't worry about having a lawyer. You know what you're doing. Your hands are not tired anymore. Go and do the job and go and do it properly.
Do it sensibly. And when Phil Jordan said to us, is that 65 metres or 165 metres?
Yeah.
There's a very small amount of road they can do at one time.
At one time.
So they have to bring all that machinery, all those people, we'll do all that stuff, then take all the machinery away, and then a few months later, bring all that machinery back.
The ruling was,
ridiculous.
For those people that have just tuned in, the ruling was that it could do something like 165 square metres
of road at a time.
So it might not finish the whole road, and then they have to go to another postcode before they can put any more tarmac down.
That's ridiculous.
That's the you know, the control that they have over Island Roads. This contract ties them up in knots. So those people that are frustrated should be looking at this and thinking, right, okay, I now know why these things are done.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is say, right, okay, take all that away, take all the small print away, and then say to Island Roads, look, this is the contract now. Yes, you come and see us after every job, but we want you to finish the job. Feel free to do it in the way, because you're the expert, by the way. And if you want to finish a road, then you finish that road. You don't have to worry about doing half the road and then going into another postcode. We'll take that away from you. You can do everything.
Just do the road.
Yeah, that as well, yeah. Train.
Yes, defo.
We seem to be agreeing on an awful lot here.
Yes, well, it's common sense, isn't it?
It's the common sense party. It's talking about it, and, you know, there's slight little tweaks here.
Yeah.
I think that there is room for a steam train.
Definitely.
And maybe the steam train ought to link up with Ryde.
And definitely Ventnor.
And maybe the other train links up with another different sizes. We haven't gone into the technicalities of this, but we need a train that goes from Ryde to Newport, to Cowes,
to
Yarmouth, maybe to Blackgang, maybe, and over to Ventnor as well, Sandown, Shanklin, and join up.
It'd be amazing.
It would be.
And it'd bring the island together.
Making sure that en route, taking in the high schools. Yeah. So if you're going to Newport, yes, it goes just past Medina.
Mm.
And if you're going to Carisbrook, obviously, it goes up to Carisbrook before it travels back to Cowes. And then it goes from Cowes to Yarmouth. Obviously, round to Blackgang, maybe. I don't know why I'm thinking of Blackgang, but, you know, maybe that's the way we should work. And then it'll go straight. So we're right going round the Isle of Wight, aren't we, really?
It would be fantastic. You know, people could go and spend the whole day riding on the train, going to see different bits of the island.
And you would unclog the roads. The roads that are being worked on and built and so on would last that bit longer because there's less traffic on it. Everyone, again, will be less stressed. Mm. They could come across to the Isle of Wight and properly have a holiday. You just imagine. I know it's a wonderful place to live, but, you know, during those 6 weeks, you know that you're going to be stuck in traffic. You're going to be frustrated. And you're going to have the wrong impression of the Isle of Wight. Wouldn't it be great if you could just park up somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Or not even bring your car across.
Yeah.
Come across as a foot passenger, get on the train and go where you need to be. All the major towns are all linked up.
Yeah.
How wonderful would that be?
Incredible. I mean, I used to live in Brading, and the kids used to go to school in Sandown and be able to catch the train.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
How many of those people that are actually representing us or wanting to represent us as an MP, there's six of them, how many of them have actually mentioned the train?
None of them.
They mentioned the other word, the fixed link.
Ugh.
And I've got to be honest with you, okay, they're talking about a fixed link now. I say, forget your fixed link. It's pointless.
Yes.
We got too many cars on the road now. We don't need any more. The best way forward for the Isle of Wight is, and if they're saying that there is X amount of millions or billions forget it. Spend your money on the train. It's going to be more beneficial to us. It might not be beneficial to the blimmin' people that are trying to make money out of a bridge, but it will be more beneficial to us.
But was it Phil Jordan who said to us, I think it was Phil, or either him or the Liberal Democrat guy, and they said to us, it's all very well us talking about a fixed link, but no one's agreed to it on the other side.
Absolutely. Absolutely
right.
So
where's it going to end?
And let's be honest, I'm just going to be honest now. If we get the train in place, then we could have some kind of fixed link bridge that brings a train across.
Or tunnel.
And links up with the mainland. But we've got to have something in place here first of all.
That'd be marvellous.
And it makes sense for it to be a train.
It would make so much sense, because apart from anything else, if you did something like that, it would mean that house prices and everything on the island would rise, because it would be seen as commutable to the island. I mean, to the mainland to work.
OK, that's a political party broadcast for the Common Sense Party locally, and we'll be back in two weeks, I was going to say. We'll be back in two ticks for the national broadcast. That's coming up next.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's John Willison from Cowes.
The best thing about White Fibre is their speed of response. And you're actually talking to a human being who you know is local. It's not transferred over to India or Scotland. It's a local person.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240-240.
WhiteFibre.com.
24-month contract required. Fastest speeds available in all cabled areas.
Isle of Wight Feet help people with foot problems and footwear. Make an appointment to see my dad for professional chiropody and podiatry services. He specialises in making orthotic insoles and made-to-measure footwear. Don't put us off and suffer. We're opposite the Conservative Club in Cross Street. Open from Tuesday to Saturday from 9 to 5. Telephone 864444 or search iwfeet.co.uk.
Are you ready, Boots?
Hair Learning Centre offers high-quality training in real workplaces, giving an authentic working experience. They also offer for a functional skills scheme to help with young people's essential maths, English and ICT skills. Get in touch by emailing info@carelearningcentre.co.uk, visit www.carelearningcentre.co.uk or call the centre on 01983 533 993.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
Westridge Golf Centre is the number one place on the Isle of Wight to get into golf. They have a fully covered floodlit golf range to practice your game, with PGA qualified professionals on hand to provide tuition for complete beginners all the way through to the most advanced golfers. Check them out now on www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre in Brading Road, Ryde.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call West Wight Audio for expert friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwightaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Welcome back to part two of today's Lunchtime Social Debate, a party political broadcast by the Common Sense Party. We've talked local in the last section. This section is, we're going to talk about national. So national policies. Again, just following on from the last hour, MPs should be held accountable.
Absolutely.
So MPs, councillors, as we said locally.
Yeah.
MPs held accountable. And if they do lie and do cheat... Yeah. And do fix their accounts. I'm sorry, but depending on the size of the amount of money that you've fixed, I think a prison sentence is in order.
Absolutely.
And if you have stolen and cheated, then I think that that bans you from ever trying to be a politician again.
Absolutely.
It's a one time only. And let's be honest, if you are going to be a politician, you need to be squeaky clean.
Yes, you do. And that doesn't mean that, you know, nobody could ever find a picture of you at a party as a teenager. It means you have to mean what you say and say what you mean. It means you have to speak from the truth and from knowledge rather than putting... This spinning word is lying, isn't it? Spinning?
Yeah, basically. I think you've got to be truthful.
You've got to be just truthful.
Truthful
and honest.
And honest. And, you know, I think that is the way forward. I'd like to go as far as saying, look, no more parties.
Yes.
Abolish parties. You represent your areas.
Yes.
And we're going to have a rule in place that's what you're going to do. And, yes, you can elect a prime minister. And you can, you know, vote in one particular person, but he won't be allowed to be part of a party. I know that they will probably form allegiances and so on and so forth. But, you know, at the end of the day, take the politics out of it and just let common sense prevail. That's the way we're going to... Are we agreed on that?
We're completely agreed on it. I mean, I've got here, leave schools to be run by the professionals and leave NHS to be run by the professionals. And what I'm saying is stop using this as a political thing. It's far too important. The education of our young people and the health of us is far too important to mess about with.
And by the way, something we mentioned last week in you know, to do with the schools, and that is we would look at, okay, there's an element of let the teachers teach.
Yes.
And also we should say that maybe there should be an element of bringing in some things that will actually give these children some life skills. So that, you know, from the ages of 13, 14, 15, up to 16, and indeed in the sixth form as well, they get to know how to cook, clean, you know, pay bills, that sort of thing. And to me, that's common sense. You've got to give them the skills so that when they leave school, they're pretty clued up on most things. You go get a mortgage, you go get a loan, all these things.
More. And I also think we should be teaching economics and philosophy from a very early age at school, so when people do go and vote for people, they're doing it in an educated way rather than being swayed by media or party political broadcast type thing.
Makes sense. Okay, so that's that sorted out.
I'd like to take social care away from local councils and have them as part of the NHS, so that your little old lady who is in bed on ward so-and-so, when it's time for her to be discharged, goes to an NHS nursing home. You don't have all this social care. Well, I'm sorry, but we haven't got the budget and da-da-da. You know, the person is put before.
Okay, here's an idea for you.
Yeah.
Because the prison is so big on the island, you could have a few homeless people in there and have a section of it that is aftercare, because it's just up the road from the hospital.
That'd be amazing.
I mean, has anybody ever thought of joining up the dots? You know, to me, you've got a building there that is absolutely huge. It can house, I don't know, 500-odd inmates.
Yeah.
Well, if you said, right, let's have 250 for those people that are homeless, and let's have, you know, one big kind of nursing home for those people that are coming out, convalescing from hospital and having, you know, surgery and so on and so forth. It's just up the road.
Do you know, I saw something absolutely brilliant the other day, and I can't remember which country it is. It might be Denmark. What they do for students at universities, if they move into an old age pensioners home, you know, and I'm talking residential home or care home here, and help a couple of sessions a week, they get free room and board. And then, you know, they do a couple of sessions a week, you know, helping the elderly, entertaining them, talking with them, sitting at meals with them. It's what an amazing thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, let's think... What creatively about stuff?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Look at other countries doing the things brilliantly and think, we'll have some of that.
Yeah, and stop doing them badly.
Stop doing them badly over and over again in the same way.
Makes
sense. Was it Einstein that said it's madness to do the thing over and over, same thing over and over again, expecting a different result?
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent of rewinding a tennis match because you don't like the person who won it, hoping they'll lose when you watch it again.
That used to be the Irish joke, didn't it? You used to be able to tell that, you know, someone scored and then someone different scored in the replay. But it just leads us on to in Europe in or out. Now, let me just come off the back of that, because today you may be aware of this. There's a vote that's happening in Brussels today, and it's to do with alcohol.
Right.
Alcohol doesn't have to have calories. It doesn't have to have. So what they wanted to do, and I don't know whether they've already voted it through or not, but they wanted to say, right, okay, when you buy a bottle of wine, it's got X amount, it has to have the detail of how many calories are on there.
Okay.
Now, I could understand the most important thing on a bottle is the alcohol content.
Yes.
How many times have you picked up a bottle of something and you struggle to find the alcohol content, which is the most important thing?
Absolutely.
And you do. You think, right, okay, that's 2%. I could have one of those and maybe drive.
Yes.
Maybe. I'm not saying you should, but you say, right, that's 6%. Absolutely no way.
Oh.
That's 13%. No chance. You know, that isn't made big enough. I'd say, look, go back to Europe and say, look, make those bits bigger, because that's important. If you want the calorie content, okay, but what's more important?
But Google it.
Yeah.
You know, go on to Weight Watchers, it's all on there.
And if you drink lots of wine and your weight starts to balloon, you know why. It's not rocket science, is it? You know, there is an element of nanny state here, isn't there?
Yeah, and I don't like that, actually. I think the nanny state should be there for people who are vulnerable and need it. But for all of us who are sentient beings and can completely look things up for ourselves, forget it, mate.
I know that if I drink a pint of beer, it's going to bloat my belly.
Yes.
So therefore, at some point, I am going to put some kind of weight on in the next little while if I have too much.
Really?
What I'm seriously needing is the detail of how much alcohol content, because that's more important.
Well, you know, obviously, you don't want to be operating heavy machinery like a car.
No. No.
If you've been drinking absinthe, you know.
Yeah. Is that strong, then?
Yes.
Is it?
Oh, I'll tell you a story about that one day.
There's a debate in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Just leads us on nicely, then, because this is obviously a subject that within a subject, but obviously we're going to try and, in this party political broadcast for the Common Sense Party, we're going to try and cover as many aspects as possible. EU, should there be a referendum?
I don't know. I think what we have to do, if we're a Common Sense Party, before we offer people a referendum, because it's very costly, is to actually sit down, work out what's going on, and present the case to the people and say, this is the honest, absolute truth. What do you think? Do you want a referendum type of scenario?
Okay, because I think, yeah, so it's all very well giving somebody a referendum on
the
EU.
But if they don't know...
Exactly. Who's qualified to know?
Exactly. So until we know and we can present the case in an objective and honest manner to people, I don't think...
Surely it comes down to the country's accountants,
yes,
to tell us what we got coming in and what we got going out by way of Europe.
What's the benefit of being in Europe?
Exactly.
If we're not in no benefit,
we are.
That's
common sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very well everyone having an argument and saying we should be in, we should be out because they've got an opinion. I'm not interested in someone's opinion. What I am interested in is the facts and the figures and the accounts. Show us the accounts.
Yeah.
Is it good for us to stay in Europe? Is it good for us to get out of Europe?
Because I'm not sure. And we're not stupid, Maka, you and I. We read quite a lot about current affairs, and I'm still not sure.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm qualified to make the decision.
Exactly.
So I would say no to a referendum to Europe, because none of us, or most of us, are not intelligent enough to work out why. The accountants are.
I think, in a way, referendums, a government that responds with referendums is a government that isn't confident in some respects. If you're giving people the honest truth, and you're doing the best you can, then surely you're doing your job.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be having to have referendums to make sure you're doing your job. You know, we have a referendum every 5 years. Do we want this political party or not?
So, are we having a referendum on Europe?
I would say no.
No. No referendum to Europe.
I would say
we let the accountants come to us, whoever's in charge, and they say, right, these are the books, they're absolutely truthful, and if there's fibs or there's covers up here and there,
yeah,
we say it's off to the tower with you.
Is that, if it's all about big corporations and the little man, it doesn't matter, then yes,
okay,
completely goodbye, you know?
Just a couple of quick ones. Political correctness. It's gone absolutely ridiculous, and we need to obviously discuss it, put it out there, and you know, put it on the table, so we all know where we stand with it.
I think we still have a law, well, a rule, which is treat others as you'd like to be treated. You know,
that's it. Simple
be
as
nice.
That.
Be kind.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
So that's that done and dusted.
That's done.
I think banks ought to be open 7 days a week. Well, shops are.
Banks would argue they are with internet banking and stuff, but then a lot of people don't have the internet banking. So
look, someone's interrupting our party political broadcast. Just the one time. Shall we vote this one through?
Yes.
Just one
go
time.
For it.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. It's Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hello, Jay.
You're through to the party political broadcast
for the Common Sense
from the Common Sense Party.
Yeah, I know.
Can we rely on your vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say that listening to the two, it's great. So your ideas are great and the engagement, but instead of going to be a little bit serious, but instead of keeping it at just the tongue-in-cheek level, because there is a lot of sense in what you're saying, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to actually hold some meetings in your local areas and actually talk about these things.
Yeah.
And thrash them out, because all the beneficial things that people want happening in their local area, they're only ever going to come from the local people. It's going to come from the bottom up, not necessarily from top down.
Thing that surprised us, Jay, was when we made our lists, and literally we've done them on the back of an envelope in 10 minutes before we did this,
yeah,
was how many of these issues aren't being covered by our six local candidates.
Well, yeah, the fixed link thing is something that's been thrown in, and that they're forced to talk about it, whether they want to or not, because it's been given a bit of profile. Personally, I think it's just a bit of grandstanding. I can't see it ever happening. On a cynical side of things, I'll say it anyway, there's still, even if the bridge wasn't to be built, there's a bloody lot of money to be made just on feasibility studies and things alone.
Yeah, well, see, yes. I'm against the fixed link.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can all wind each other up, and boy, we've tried in the last little while. But what I am saying, and I pin my colours to the mast, what this Isle of Wight needs is a train. A train that links up all the major towns around it.
Yep.
And if that is like a third, maybe even less than that, less than the cost of a fixed link, the train is the way to go. It will get people off the roads. It will make sure that our roads that are being redone now will last longer because we've got less traffic on it.
Yeah, what kind of a train? Electric?
Well, I like the steam idea. I think we've got to go with part electric, part steam.
I would have an electric train, but that looked like a steam train.
Yeah?
So that it was, ecologically sound, but also really fun to go on.
Yeah?
You see, I'm in agreement with, and I'd also, well, I've got to go two elements here. You can't just say you want something on the blanket. You've got to think about, right, where's the energy coming from to keep it going? So, yeah, electric, but okay then. Where's the electricity coming from? If you're going to have steam, what fuel are we going to burn for that?
Well, I'd like to think, because we've got quite a lot of, the photovoltaic farms now on the island. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think there was a way we could harness some of that.
It gets boring, Bex, but this is the stuff that I love. That's fine, but you've got to work out how much energy is required, how does that translate to in photovoltaics, how much land mass are you going to take up, are we going to impeach on the amount of land that we need to grow food, because they take up acres and acres, and things like transport takes up a huge amount of energy to put into it.
Yeah.
But do you want me to tell you something? I have mentioned to people that know there's a system, and we used to have years ago, it's over 100 years old, this technology, but air compressed locomotion transport. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, it's quite common at one time. There's a look up, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now. It's a place in Canada, Cobalt. Which was a tromp plant, and what it does, basically, it takes water, and the water compresses air, and the air gets fed into locomotion engines. And it also, as well, all of these things should be community-owned as well, community companies.
Yes.
Where it's essentially not-for-profit, or at least the profits that are taken are evenly dispersed between the people running it.
Yeah.
So you take the hierarchical profit model out of it, and therefore you're spreading the money around a lot more equitably as well. The only thing I would say, right, with all of these things is, with the proviso, including education as well, is you've got to bear in mind, people don't like talking about it, but you've got to. Climate change, and resource depletion. Otherwise, you're spitting in the wind, because all these great ideas you'll find are nullified by things that are bigger than what we necessarily want politically, or, you know, just intrinsically. We are governed by natural laws, and so we've got to work within limits, and definitely kids need to be knowing this at school, absolutely.
I think you're absolutely right. We're running out of time of our political broadcast.
Yeah.
What I'm going to suggest to my right honourable friend there is that we award you the head of energy. You're going to be head of energy.
And environment.
Okay. Because there's a reason why it's got to be head of energy.
Okay.
Because it spells out hoe. And what we could do is have a picture with you and your hoe. And we'll give you your own desk and everything.
Do you know what, Ian? I'm not that stupid, because the policies you'd have to implement, the people would bloody kill me. They'd chase me. What do you mean I can't run around in my own car? What do you mean I can't fly Benidorm for the weekend?
You can't use your own car because you've got to use the train.
Well, no point in having the bloody roads in the first place, right?
Thanks, you cool Jay.
Cheers
now. We're coming to the end of our political broadcast for
the Common Sense Party.
There are a couple of other things that we haven't talked about yet. I think, you know, maybe very quickly, doctor surgeries, you know, again, they're not open 7 days a week, and maybe they should.
No, Ian, we've got 7 days a week. We've got the Beacon Centre. We've got out of hours. It's a drop-in centre. People can just walk in there.
Okay.
7 days a week and see a GP.
All right.
They might not see their own GP, but no GP could work 7 days a week.
Is that the only one that's on the island, the Beacon Centre?
As far as I know.
So maybe we could have a couple more Beacon Centres then.
Yes.
All right.
So you've got one over in Yarmouth.
See what we did there?
Yes.
You were against it. I was for it. We met in the middle. And we met in the middle, and we've if we had again, you know, because you've got to look at it and think, with this new train, we're going to get more people coming across to the island.
Yes.
That Beacon Centre is going to be overran. So let's have a Beacon Centre in the major towns.
Absolutely. A small one.
Yeah.
And maybe doctor's surgeries could take it in turns.
Yeah. See? We met in the middle there. Now, I've left this one till last. Have you got any more there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I'm not going to do the death penalty one. although having said that, prison sentences. Let's just tackle this one here. Prison sentences. I say if you are sentenced to life, you are in prison for life.
I agree.
There's no getting out halfway through because you've been a good boy. I'm sorry, but if you've taken a life and you've been found guilty, I say you're in there for life.
I agree.
If you are if you've molested a child, I'm sorry, but again, that carries a life sentence.
Absolutely.
You're in there for life. But you do get the choice. You can end your life.
Cool.
You can end your life. You do it, though.
Yeah.
You ask for something, a pill, whatever, you get that pill, you can take your own life. It will free up some space. and let's be honest, it will give some people some justice too. Because the justice system at the moment isn't that brilliant, is it?
Well, with the reduction of legal aid, it means people who are poor cannot get justice. And that is in the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
No matter how poor you are, you should be entitled to justice. And that's not happening. So I would actually ensure that anyone has access to that.
So we're agreed on that.
Yeah, completely.
We're pushing that one through.
Yeah.
Now, the UK, UK is at the moment, it's together.
Yes.
So I don't know whether we would have a vote. The whole nation should vote. And I say, okay, Scotland had a vote. Should we be in? Should we be out?
Yeah.
I think the whole nation should now stand, have a vote, and say whether they want in, whether they want out. And then once they've voted the fact that they want to stay in and we want to be united, we'll shut up moaning about it and we'll get on with our lives, because we'll have a lovely little nice new train, especially here on the island,
yeah,
taking us here, there and everywhere. Beacon Centre is in every town.
Yeah.
And we're knowing full well that the paedophiles, the murderers, the rapists, they're all banged up for life and they ain't coming out, and some of them might not be here anyway on the planet.
Excellent. Sorted.
And then we can all go down to that shop that we mentioned in the first part of this, to that place that's selling the legalised cannabis,
nice,
and we can either
coffee.
Have a little or a nice cup of tea, or we can have a little smoke.
Yeah.
It's down to
Perfect.
You. But life would be great.
It would.
So
yeah.
Please, next time, vote for us.
Yeah.
The Common Sense Party. All right, stand by. I know some of that was tongue-in-cheek, but some of it, most of it, I've got to be honest with you, most of it I meant.
I tell you what, if you don't know who to vote for, sit down and write your own policies, and then you'll probably work it out.
That is brilliant advice.
Yeah.
That is brilliant advice. Sit down and make a list of those things that you would like. Have a read of these manifestos and which one. Don't just vote for the person that you think might do a good job.
Think about what matters to you.
Absolutely. That is brilliant advice. Thank you for being there, Bex.
Loved it. What a great show.
Stand by. We've got the Voxes on the way then. Next, James and Judith, they're here after the news. Have a great Wednesday. Avoid the showers if you can.